I greet you, my friends, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and on this Pentecost Sunday as we celebrate the power of the Holy Spirit that came upon those early disciples and gave birth to the church. It's good to be with you this morning, and especially to welcome those who are visiting with us this morning. We're so glad that you're here, and we hope that you have a chance to feel the Spirit of Christ moving in this place and to meet some of the friends that are sitting around you this morning. One of the ways that we pay attention to one another and know who is here every Sunday is to sign in. We have registration pads on the end of each row, and I hope they're already making their way down the row. And if you wouldn't mind signing in to let us know you were here, that would be great. If you are visiting with us and would like to know more about the church and some of our ministries, you can share your mailing address or an email address with us, and that'll give us a chance to be in touch with you and welcome you into the fellowship. A word of announcement for those who have teenagers. Youth parents are invited to gather downstairs in McWhorter Hall at 9:45 for youth parents meeting. And so that is rising seventh graders all the way through those about to go off to college. And Emily will be sharing with you plans for the summer and all sorts of good information. At 3:00 this afternoon, our sanctuary choir will be joining with the choir at St. George's Episcopal Church for a concert of French music, and they'll be singing a Durafle piece this morning that will be a preview of that concert. We'd love to have you there. Then back here at 5:00, we have our service of Taizé worship, which is once a month, a wonderful service of quiet prayer and singing, and a great opportunity to invite those who may never have been to West End before to experience a unique way that we worship together. A couple of other announcements that have to do with our mission in the world. We continue to raise money for our habitat build. The build will be this fall, but we're trying to raise $30,000 to participate in putting up a house for one of our neighbors. And we need about $17,000 yet to go. We have a few months to do it, but Lisa Guak wants to get it done before she moves to Atlanta. So let's see what we can do to raise that money. And then in your insert, you'll find some information about things that we're collecting for Project Transformation. This is a wonderful ministry that's primarily in the summer for students, and you can learn more about that in the insert and on our website, but we're collecting all sorts of things for the children who participate in that wonderful ministry. And that is it as far as the announcements I was going to highlight this morning. Now it is time to center ourselves and prepare to hear the good news, the powerful story on what happened on that day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago.
Come, Holy Ghost, our souls inspire. Thy seven for gifts impart.
Come, Holy Spirit, inspire our hearts with your fiery presence. Come, Holy Spirit, energize our lives to work for God. Come, Holy Spirit, pour your blessing on us.
Let your presence challenge
us. Us call on the name of the one who invites us to speak the truth about ourselves and our relationships and promises to show us mercy. Holy Spirit, we're not sure we're ready for your awesome power to blow through our lives. We've grown comfortable with our familiar habits and routines. We're afraid to give up our waking slumber and face the truth that we do not truly live. When we cling to our ways in the safety of familiar paths, wake us up, shake us up, and breathe your life into us. Walk with us, O God, and give us the courage to follow the way that is lit by the fire of your Spirit. On this day of Pentecost, we pray for the audacity to ride the winds of change. Don't be afraid. God's Holy Spirit brings you healing, comfort, and hope. You are being prepared to serve God in some mighty ways. Rejoice. God's Holy Spirit is with you always. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is a baptism of children. This morning, Nicholas and Jocelyn Chambers bring their daughter, Caroline McCall Chambers, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Jocelyn and Nick, I ask you now these ancient questions of the church. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? In congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with the community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in her service to others. We will pray for her that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. And when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. And in the fullness of time, you sent Jesus nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
What name is given this child?
Caroline McCall.
Caroline McCall, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Now I'll invite you all to place a hand on Caroline as we pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in her life. Caroline, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Kiss, right. I'm going to take Miss Caroline on a little walk. Miss Caroline, we're going to go a little bit closer to your church family, so you can see all of these friends who are going to walk with you the walk of faith. They're going to teach you the stories of the Bible. They're going to teach you the songs of faith. Most importantly, they are going to love you unconditionally, so you know how much God loves you. And they're going to teach you how to share that love with other people. This is a special day for me because your grandfather was my youth director. And he was one of those people who helped shape me and teach me about God's love. So I'm blessed to be able to bring it around full circle and invite you into this family where you too can be taught the love of God.
The congregation, please stand and face Caroline McCall. Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Caroline McCall to you, your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Caroline McCall, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you, in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Acts of the Apostles. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the cloud gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pull out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Be seated. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm going to give you a little quiz. Is there any change up here? Any different color that you see this morning that you maybe haven't seen up here? Yes. Different color flowers. What about what I'm wearing? Red. Red. That's right. Look at all this red up here. We changed the color to red today because it's a very special day in the church. It's a day that we call Pentecost. And we just heard the story in the Bible of what happened to all of Jesus' followers on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came upon them. And it looked like there was fire there. It wasn't really fire, but it kind of looked like fire. And so we have red because it reminds us of the fire of the Holy Spirit. And they all started talking about Jesus and talking about God in so many different ways. And all these people believed. And there were 3,000 people who became Christians that day. So it's a day when we celebrate the birthday of the church. Have any of you ever had a birthday? Yeah. We've all had birthdays, right? It's important to remember those days and to go back and remember the day you were born. And you know what's kind of cool? On our birthdays, we light candles on our cakes. And on the day of Pentecost, it looked like there was fire. So next time you go to a birthday party and you see the candles on the cake, remember the birthday of the church and how the Holy Spirit looked like fire and how it helped all of those early believers of Jesus tell the story of who he was. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for this wonderful day that we call Pentecost, a day when we can celebrate the birthday of the church, a church that's now over 2,000 years old. May the Holy Spirit continue to inspire us and help us to tell the story of your love everywhere we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, well, you all can return back to your seats with your parents or grandparents or friends. Your name's Caroline, too? That's kind of cool. Have that connection with baby Caroline who just got baptized. I always feel like with the children's message, it's good to have props. And so I, this weekend, went to two different stores looking for birthday hats. I went first to CVS, no birthday hats, not even those little things that go, you know, I thought that would have been even more fun. No birthday decorations. Then I went to the Kroger just up the hill and asked, do you have any birthday hats, any birthday favors? No, everything now is July 4th, all sorts of red, white, and blue hats and things, but nothing about birthdays. I thought to myself, wouldn't it be funny if I went to the cashier and actually asked, do you have any Pentecost hats? You know, Pentecost is really a high holy day of the church. Right behind Easter and Christmas is Pentecost. This is the day when we celebrate the fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit that gave the Holy Spirit to all people. It is the birthday of the church. It is a high holy day for us. And yet, the people at the Kroger, the CVS, have no idea it's Pentecost. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that gives us a chance in the church to celebrate this holy day without all the complications of commercialization. But on the flip side of that, sometimes we in the church aren't always clear of what Pentecost is. I'm not sure I really knew and understood what Pentecost was about until I was an adult. I noticed that things turned red, but other than that, I didn't really know the story. So this is the day when we go back to the second chapter of Acts and we hear the story again of how we as a church came to be. So let's remember where we are on the timeline of things. If you were here last week, you know that Brandon got us oriented again on where we are in the timeline. Jesus has been raised from the dead on Easter. And for 40 days, Luke tells us, he made appearances to his followers. He spent time with his disciples for 40 days as the risen Christ, teaching them and instructing them. And then last week, we heard the story of what happened at the end of those 40 days. Jesus gathered all of his followers and said, "It's now time for me to return to my Father." And he was about to ascend back to heaven. And he gave them final instructions on that day. Wait in Jerusalem. Don't do anything. Just wait until you get a sign from me. So they wait for about 10 days. And then the day of Pentecost arrives. This was a Jewish festival, and so Jews from all over the Mediterranean world were gathered there in Jerusalem to worship in the temple for Pentecost. And it was on that day that they were gathered together in one place, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. Now, who is they? Luke tells us there were about 120 of them, men and women, most of them from Galilee, and they even included Jesus' mother. Isn't that interesting to know that Mary was there as one of Jesus' disciples on this day when the Holy Spirit was poured out on all of them? And every single one of them, each one of these uneducated Galileans who would have been considered country bumpkins by all the Jerusalemites, and all the international folks that were walking around in Jerusalem, every single one of them began proclaiming the gospel of Jesus in all the languages of the known world. It's an astounding story, and it's a wonderful day to celebrate as a church. Those of us who plan worship have a lot of fun with Pentecost. Sometimes we invite everybody to wear red. I've been in churches where we've had liturgical dancers coming down the aisles and doves and red banners and even red balloons once or twice. It's a big birthday party of the church and a feast day. And yet, as I prepared for Pentecost this year, I wasn't much in the mood for a party, if I'm being really honest with you. You see, Monday, I went to the hospital to be with some family friends who had received the most devastating news you can imagine. And I walked into that hospital room, and I didn't have words. I didn't have language to speak. All I could do was sit with them and hold their hands and cry with them. Then on Tuesday, on my way to work, I'm listening to the radio and hearing about everything that's happening in Jerusalem. The renewed violence there. And I've been to Jerusalem, and I know the layers and layers of complicated history and hatred. And I had no words. I had no answers. And then Friday, sitting at my desk here at the church, and Julie Catterton, who sits at her desk just outside mine, called into my office and said, "Carol, you've heard there's been another shooting." And I just put my head down on my desk, and I had no words. And here is this story of Pentecost, this great festival day of the church where we proclaim the power of the Holy Spirit that has come within us and created the church. And I ask the question, what does this story have to give us on a Sunday like this? And then the phrase jumped out at me. They were proclaiming the deeds of God in every language. The gospel of Jesus Christ was being spoken in every possible way. It reminded me that the gospel of Jesus translates into every situation, no matter how dark, no matter what the despair and grief and loss there might be. The good news of Jesus Christ can speak, maybe with words, but even more powerfully in presence and love. I walked here from the hospital on Monday afternoon after being with that family. And I wasn't ready to go up into my office yet, so I came into the sanctuary and sat on the back row. And my eyes were drawn to the cross. And then I remembered that the power of the gospel is not found in conquering. It's not, at its deepest level, a story of success. The power of the gospel is that we have a God who suffers with us, who is with us in all things, who came to be one of us and died for us, knows our grief and our deepest pain. And that is a word that can be proclaimed to all people in all places. It's no surprise that the gospel caught fire, that the church spread first and foremost among the poor and the oppressed and the slaves and the widows. Those who were at a place of loss and grief and under the thumb of the Roman Empire. To hear this good news that God knew them by name, that God loved them, that in God's eyes they were equal, that God loved all people, that Jesus came for all. It's no wonder the gospel spread so quickly. And so here we are, church, the disciples of Jesus Christ in the 21st century. The gospel continues to be proclaimed and needs to be proclaimed by all of us in every corner of the earth, in every possible language. Little Caroline was baptized this morning. And if you've been baptized, then the church has prayed for you that the Holy Spirit would work within you. And the Holy Spirit has given you a particular language, a unique way of living the gospel. The Holy Spirit is calling you to particular corners of the kingdom to share God's love and the good news of God's presence and unconditional love for all people. So what is the language that you are called to speak? Who are the ones that you are led to speak to? You don't always have to use words. Sometimes just sitting with someone and weeping with them is the most powerful witness of God's presence. Some of you are called to that. Some of you are called to stand up and advocate for change. Some of you are called to sit by the bedside of those who are sick. Some of you are called to teach the children and make disciples of them. Whatever God is calling you to do, and God is calling you to something, may you know that the Holy Spirit works within you and that you have everything you need to proclaim the gospel. Amen. On this day when we celebrate the birthday of the church, it is an act of powerful faith for us to stand together and affirm who we are in the Spirit of God. So I invite you to stand as you're able and join with me in our affirmation of faith found on page 883. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated.
As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you would like to share, then please fill out one of the gray cards that is located in the pew racks in front of you. And on those cards, you may indicate whether your prayer request should remain confidential or if it is to be shared. And you can place those cards in the offering plates in just a few moments as they are passed down the pews. This morning, we rejoice with Susan and Luke Gregory, who are happy to welcome a new granddaughter. Sarah Catherine Erickson was born May 4th in Atlanta, Georgia, to Kate and Matt Erickson, and is welcomed also by her big brother, Matthew Erickson, and uncle, Ben Gregory. Today we offer our sympathy to Susie, Carl, Will, and Charlie Hansen, who are mourning the death of Susie's mother, Mary Bright, who died May 10th in East Peoria, Illinois. Services were held in Washington, Illinois on May 17th. We also remember Esther Stewart, who died Saturday, May 12th, in Port Joe, Florida. Private services will be held at a later date. And we also mourn the loss of William Horace Herndon, who passed away Tuesday, May 15th. Services were held Friday, May 18th, at Hibbett and Haley Funeral Home, and among his survivors are his wife, West End member Lynn Reich Herndon. Now let us turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, your holy wind swept over all of creation, shaping existence and bringing light where there was darkness. Holy One, your breath gave life to all living things, animating and sustaining them. This day and every day, we give thanks for you and pray for your sustaining presence in our lives. Saving Lord, in Jesus Christ, we know the fullness of your presence. Help us walk in the way of the one who demonstrated the power of life lived in spirit and truth. When we struggle to trust in your ways, help us be faithful. When we fail to love you and our neighbors with our whole heart, help us grow in grace. When we are hurting or broken, help us know healing and comfort. When we sow violence and hatred and division, help us know your peace. Divine presence, whose spirit moves like wind and flame, set our hearts on fire this morning and stoke the flames of unity and kinship that you desire for people of all ages and nations and races. In a world full of many perspectives and embodiments and languages, may your spirit help us share the universal language of divine love. Remind us that such love has the power to bind all people together in solidarity and common interest for goodness and wholeness. May this be the witness of your church. As a people of one God, one Lord, and one Spirit, we join our voices together to pray, as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. On this Pentecost Sunday, let us offer our gifts to sustain the ongoing work of God through the church, which has been born of the Spirit.
seated, and I'd like to invite our care partners to come forward. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul reminds us that we are all members of the body of Christ. He says, God has put the body together so the parts might have mutual concern for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part gets the glory, all the parts celebrate with it. You are the body of Christ and parts of each other. Today, we launch a new and exciting ministry of connection called Care Partners. While all of us are called to care for one another, West End Care Partners have been specially trained to walk with people through difficult times, to listen and to pray, and to help others remember that they are not alone in their struggles. Care Partners will also help to ensure that our members who are homebound or hospitalized will know that they are not forgotten by our congregation. In this way, our care partners will share the loving light of Christ through a ministry of connection, compassion, and care. Today, we consecrate them to that work in the name of Jesus Christ. Would you all kneel?
My friends, on behalf of this congregation, I commend you to this work of connection, compassion, and care. I pledge to you our prayers, encouragement, and support. May the Holy Spirit guide and strengthen you, that in this and all things you may do God's will in the service of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, look with favor upon these persons who reaffirm their commitment to follow Christ and to serve in his name. Give each of them courage, patience, and vision, and strengthen us all in our Christian vocation of witness to the world and of service to others. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
now, my dear friends, may the Holy Spirit work within you that the world might know the love and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the power of our good God, that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Grant us, O Lord.